Before we get started into our lesson, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love. We ask you to be with each one of us, Father. We ask you to open our hearts, our minds to your word, Father. Help us to understand. Help us to also help us to be able to apply your word in our daily lives. We ask you, Father, and we thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you, Father, and that this worship service may be in spirit and in truth. And all the honor and glory may be yours, Father. Thank you once again for your blessings. Father, as well, those that are traveling, be with them. Watch over them and bring them back. I have loved ones, Father, that are sick. Call your blessings, Father, and forgive us when we fail thee. In Christ's name we pray. All those others that we don't see here this morning, we have. So that is why I'm standing up here this morning. Our lesson, what I wanted to say is just kind of finish off what all I want to say to, and I should have said it Wednesday, up here for that lesson, last thing we spoke of, knowledge. Then the wisdom, that's what I wanted to say about know God's word from Genesis to the, but we have to know how to apply God's word in our daily lives. And that, so this morning, I'd like for us to open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. I did have another lesson, another thought. For this morning, but I feel like I need more time because there's. So, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. What I want to do is just read Galatians beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. Do we know what's happening in the book of Galatians? What's Paul? We know that Paul writes the letter to the Galatians. What is a problem that they're having there in Galatia? Why is Paul writing this letter to them? Help us understand. Once we start reading the letter, we'll understand what Paul is. But we see here that the problem is that the brethren, the Jews, were trying to get those Gentiles that were obeying the gospel, they were trying to get them to be circumcised. And so Paul writes them this letter and he says, well, circumcision, at least this circumcision that they're talking about, does not apply in Christ. And so this is one of the problems that they're having. And so Paul writes this letter to them. And there's a lot of interesting things here in chapter 1 that I'd like to talk about as well as we read these verses. Let's first thing I'd like to do is if circumcision is one of the problems that they're having, and the Jews are once again telling these brethren that obey the gospel, these Gentiles, you have to be. Was that part of the law or part of Moses' law to be circumcised? Yes or no? Now, the law has been done away with because Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has obeyed that part of the gospel, Christ has died, and that law is done away with. And now we're under what? The Christian law in Christ. It's not a physical law anymore, which was the law of Moses, but it's a spiritual law in Jesus Christ. And so they're trying to bring in circumcision into Christ. And according to Genesis chapter 17, if we read verses 9 through 12, it was a covenant that God made between him and Abraham. And God tells Abraham what? He says that in thy seed, all nations shall be blessed. And he says, and you, And he would have to circumcise their male children by the eighth day. That's what I was trying to say. So this is what we will be reading here in Galatians chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Excuse me, but thou, we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. After 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and my face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. So we, in this first chapter, the first thing that I notice is Paul having to approve or to let them know that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Mentions here in this verse, in this chapter, wasn't by revelation of man, but from God. And the story in the book of Acts, that is, Paul was walking to Damascus, a light appears, and it's Jesus speaking. So, in a sense, Paul is letting them know, this is God's word. I am preaching God's word to you. And it was a revelation from God that I got this message from. He writes to the Galatians and he lets them know. And he also lets them know because, like I said, the one of the main arguments is that they wanted to bring the old, the law, bring it into Christ. But we see that even at that, the Jews, they wouldn't apply the law of Moses. They wouldn't live the law of Moses or they wouldn't apply it to themselves. But yet when a Gentile would obey the gospel, they want you to don't even apply it in your own lives, but you want, when they obey the gospel, you want them to apply it. But we see here that Paul speaks about a gospel. And this is the gospel that he's talking about, because, and this is why these brethren were strained. Now, if we apply that in our times, Paul says here, he talks about the gospel. Is there another? And this is what I want to say. You know, talk about this morning. John preaches that God has not, walking forward, you know. Paul talks about a gospel. How many gospels is there? Can't everybody be right in their own way? As long as you, and this is what I've heard, this is what I see, as long as you believe in God, you're good to go. So what is the Apostle Paul telling us here? He says there's only one gospel. Another thought that comes into my mind is, a lot of other people think that people of the Church of Christ are... Why do they say that? Not if they take it the wrong way, because Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 16, Jesus said, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. who do men say that I am? Well, some are the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Some say that you're one of the prophets. Whom do you say that I am? What does Peter answer? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies and he says that man has not given you these thoughts, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I shall build what? My church. So we see here a good example of what we're talking about, that one gospel. Jesus has built his church. And that's the church that we should search for. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what is Jesus saying here? That he's going to establish his church. And so there's only one church that we look for. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. And this is where the Apostle Paul talks about that gospel. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another. Apostle Paul says here, I am astonished. So soon have strayed away. Now, what are some of the distractions? We see here that the distraction that they have is that they want to circumcise the Gentiles. What are some of the distractions that we find nowadays that distract us from the faith? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 8. With verse 7. And this is what, who did hinder you? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Persuasion not come from God. It's not God that's getting you to believe in else. But it's what? But we see the question that he asked here. He says, you were running so well. You were doing so. Why have you strayed? Why have you believed otherwise? Why have you believed? Verses remind me of, Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, if we turn there, gospel. How many gospels is there? How many? Oh, it's his church that he has. A lot of people think that a person just needs to be good, right? And you're good to go. You have to seek God. And so what the Apostle Paul, once again, is telling them, he says, I am what? The way, the truth, the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. And so if God, through his Son, has established and Jesus has died for his church, then there's no other way that leads us to God but through his Son, Jesus Christ. So if Paul is writing this letter and telling them there is no other gospel, it also applies to us. There is no other gospel. And we just mentioned Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, if we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, with verse 4. Someone would like to read these verses for us. Verses 4 through 6. So the Apostle Paul here, writing to the Ephesians, he says that there is what? There is one body. That's the Lord's church. There is one body. And this goes back to the question that we just said. Why is only the church of Christ the only ones that will be saved? That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that Jesus has died for his church. He has established his church. And so, that's the church that we're talking about. And so, he says here that there is one body. There is one spirit, even as you are called into one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Yes, there is one God. Do we believe that? Yes, we do. But there's also only one faith. And like we just mentioned in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. And so there's how many ways to heaven? And that's what we're saying, that we have to find that one way. We have to make sure that we have that way that leads to heaven, unless we just don't want to go. We're happy with just, like Johnny said, happy with life here, you know, our lives, and that's it. But think about this. Is that the end of man? Is that the end of you after you life in this world? No, life after death. That's, and he gives us the way. So we see here that the Apostle Paul is saying that there's one God and there's only one faith. And what? There is also only what? One baptism. One God and Father of all. Now, how many other ways do we see that people say that a person can be saved? Just pray. Pray, and they use, they say that God accept them into your heart, and you're saved. It says to them that there's only one gospel. Not that he's trying to tear them down, but he's trying to build them up and say, okay, you need to get back on that road. Another verse that I'd like for us to see is found in 1 John chapter 2. Also a popular verse that we read a lot. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And these are some of the things, because we read that what Paul is telling the Galatians, but yet, how does it apply to me? What are my distractions? What distracts me from believing in God, my part, and being obedient to God? 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15 and 16. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," he says, "it's not of the Father, but is of the world." So, what is verse 15? What is our distraction? Our trust has to be in God and not in this world. So this is one of the distractions, and he breaks this. He kind of says, okay, this is everything that distracts us. And this breaks it down three categories. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. I see something, you know, hey, I like flesh. This is what I think I should have. So where is this trust? If we are practicing these three things, our trust is in this world. This is not of the Father, but is. Another one that I'd like for us to turn to and read is Romans chapter 12:1. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Apostle Paul encourages us to do not follow in the lust of life and the lust of the eyes, but to look for God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy, acceptable unto God, which is not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, and our focus should be on God." Going back to Galatians chapter 1. So, once again, words of encouragement. Apostle Paul. I'd like to read Galatians chapter 5. And it also applies to us. Because this is what, by verse 1. He says, "Then stand fast, therefore, in deliverance. Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke." Once that we have obeyed the gospel, he says, so when we obey the gospel, according to God's word, we are what? Forgiven from our sins. And so we have to renew our minds to please God and not please the physical me, God. And so God has made us free. And what he's talking about is that sin that was holding us down. When we obey the gospel, we were forgiven of those sins. Knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. Looking for of judgment, of fury, indignation. I'll devour the adversaries. He gives us an example. The writer of Hebrews gives us an example in verse 28. He says that those that despise the law of Moses died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Those Harrison here, verse 29. "Oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be brought be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing, and hath done despise unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, shall judge his people. Last verse, 31. If it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So the writer of Hebrews makes a comparison. He says, okay, if they disobeyed the law of Moses, they died. As long as they had two or three witnesses, they died because they disobeyed. And he compares that to us now. He says, now, for those of us that have obeyed and sinned willfully, we go back and entangle ourselves back with the world. He says, how much more punishment shall we receive? So we see here the importance of not falling back. And this is why, going back to Galatians, the Apostle Paul encourages us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So this is this ends our class this morning. Thank you very much for your attention.